How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Zayin, Daf 7 of Masechta Bava Kama. Friends. well, the first part of the Daf, we continue the Machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, that we got to yesterday. And then the next part of the Daf, it opens up a whole new discussion that's gonna go for a few days, and all I could say is ooh-wah. So ooh-wah. Okay, we're gonna start on Daf Vav Mud Beis, about 6-7 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Akiva Omer, got it good. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Lo ba kosuf ela legabos lenizokin mina idis vekavachom elektish. My oh my. Barara. Shnikes. Okay. Snap into it. Oof. Who could tell me what the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel was? So what we ended with yesterday was we said that this machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in a situation where, right, so Reuven's ox gores, Reuven's ox eats Shimon's field. So we say that that Reuven needs to pay back Shimon with the Edis, right? Of course, there are three types of field. Edis is the best, Benonis is the middle, Ziboris is the worst. So there's three kinds of fields. And so Reuven needs to pay back Shimon with Edis fields, with the best kinds of fields. So now we said that in a situation where Shimon's field that was eaten, Shimon's got a few fields, let's say. His best fields are only as good as Reuven the tycoon's worst fields. So the Shaila is, does Reuven, who needs to pay back Shimon, does he pay back with fields that are the equivalent of Shimon's field, which in the case of Reuven the tycoon would be Reuven's worst fields, or, right, that would be B'denizak Shaminun, that we evaluate based on the damaged fellow's property. So, based on Shimon's field, and therefore Reuven pays back Shimon from his least good field, because his least good field is as good as Shimon's best field. Or do we say, like Rabbi Akiva, that was Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, Rabbi Akiva, however, says that Reuven needs to pay back Shimon based on his own best fields, on Reuven the tycoon's best fields. Now, as you can imagine, that's a field shibbe field. So he's got to pay back from that. So that was how we understood the machlokas yesterday. So now, Rabbi Akiva then said, "V'kavachomer lehektish," I believe is what he said. "V'kavachomer lehektish." And certainly when it comes to Hektish, we have to understand exactly what's going on over here. So Rabbi Akiva, Omer says Rabbi Akiva, lo ba kosuv legabos lenizokim min ha'idis, el legabos lenizokim min ha'idis, that the pasuk is coming to say that that Shimon collects from Edis, and we wanted to understand yesterday what that means, is that Rabbi Akiva's betzim saying that Shimon collects from Reuven's Edis, that b'demazik shaminun, that we evaluate based on the damager's property, based on Reuven's property, based on Reuven's Edis. V'kavachom elehektish. And then certainly when it comes to Hektish. My kavachom elehektish. What's certainly? What about Hektish? What does it mean certainly when it comes to Hektish? So, ilema de nogach torah di don le torah de Hektish. So if you're saying, well, if Reuven's ox gores an ox of Hektish, and then that was going to be offered as a korban. So, and we're saying certainly in that case, then Reuven the tycoon would have to pay with his edis. But the problem is that in that case, there actually would be no payment because there's no payment when Reuven's ox gores a hektish ox. Shorei eyu amrachman v'lo shor shel hektish. The psukim that talk about an ox goring, what does the pasuk say? V'chigov shor ish shorei eyu. So it says, the ox of his fellow, but not an ox of Hektish. So maybe then it's talking about if a fellow says, so it's talking about in a situation where a fellow says, I'm going to give $100 to the Beis HaMikdash, and he doesn't do it. He doesn't give the $100. So then, thus a gizbar v'shakil me'idis, and we're saying, so if a fellow says he's going to give $100 to the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't do it. So now the treasurer comes to collect from his field to take, you know, some of his property, because he's not paying the $100, so he's going to take $100 of property. So we're saying that Kol Shekin, in that case, the treasury can take from, let's say, Reuven was the one who made the pledge, from Reuven's edus, from his best fields. But says Gemara, that's not a good situation, because Lo Yei Ela Baal Chov. In that case, the treasury is Be'etzem a Baal Chov, a creditor. The treasury is owed money. And if a creditor, when he collects property, because he wasn't paid back cash, when he collects property, he collects from benonis, from medium property, not from idis. So v'chitei musab Rabbi Akiva kol baal chov nami b'idis. And if you're going to say, well, actually, Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that a creditor collects from idis. Okay, so therefore by ektish, collects from idis. Right, so meaning just like by, in general, a creditor collects from idis, so certainly by ektish as well, a creditor collects from idis. But we could say, not, it's not so muvan meilav, it's not so simple. Sure, maybe a creditor collects from idis, but not necessarily by ektish. Malival chov, shken yafa kol chov benizakin. I understand why a creditor, I could argue that I could understand why a creditor can collect from edis from the best fields, because after all, a creditor who's just a regular Joe, if a regular Joe gets damaged, so then he gets paid back, right? He gets paid the damages. But toma back to Shahura Kocho ben Azakin, but by Hektish, as we just said a minute ago, there's no payment when it comes to Hektish. So therefore, by kind of regular creditor situation, where in regular situations there are also damages, if an ox gores, there's going to be damages. So you're also, when a creditor comes to collect, he collects from, you know, a better, he collects from Edis, from the best stuff. But when it comes to Hektish, where it's kind of a lower kind of a thing, that, like, for example, if an ox gores an ox of Hektish, there's no payment. So I might think that also when a creditor, when the gizbar collects from a filer who hasn't paid his commitment, his pledge, so also there, also they would kind of be in a lower position and they wouldn't collect edis. I can argue that they would collect benonis. So the olam de nogach tor didan l'tor de'ektish. So the Gemara says, you know, really it's going back to our initial thought. That we're saying that Rabbi Kiva says in Kavah Chomer, when it comes to Hektish, that if Reuven's ox gores an ox of Hektish, certainly he would have to pay back from his own edis. Udikokashalach shore'eyu amrachman of losho shel Hektish. But as you pointed out earlier, but I thought that when it comes to Hektish, there's no payment. That if Reuven's ox gores an ox of Hektish, I thought that there's no payment at all. What do you mean that he would pay back from Edis? I thought there's no payment at all. So Rabbi Akiva Savala Kib Shimin ben Manasseh. Well, Rabbi Akiva actually holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. The Tanya that we learn in Abraisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, almost says Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Shor shel Hektish shenogach shor shel Hejit, Potter. If an ox of Hektish, so somebody who's makdish an ox, he was going to offer an ox as a korban, and then that ox gores a regular ox, Potter. So the owner of the Hektish ox is Potter. Shor shel Hejit shenogach shor shel Hektish. But if a shor of a regular fellow gores a shor of Hektish, Bain tam, bain mud, mishalim nezek shalim. Whether the ox was a tam or a mud, yef bain nezek shalim. So if Reuven's ox gores an ox of Hektish, according to Shimon ben Manasseh, not only would Reuven's ox have to, would Reuven have to pay? But even if it was a short tom, he would have to pay Nezek Shalom. So we see, right now, in general, right, if Reuven's ox gores just another ox, so if it was a short tom, it would pay Chatzin, it's like half damages. But if it's a short shell like this, he pays full damages, even if it's a short tom. So we see, according to Shimon ben Manasseh, that there is payment when it comes to a short shell like this. So we could say that Rabbi Akiva holds like Shimon ben Manasseh, that there is payment when if Reuven's ox gores an ox of Hektish, and we're saying that payment would be from his Edis, that if by, you know, a regular case Reuven has to pay from his Edis, certainly when it comes to Hektish, he would have to pay from his best fields from his Edis. Iachi, okay, so if this is the case, by the way, we've seen this Gemara before, right? We saw this Gemara Masech Degin. So now the Gemara asks, if this is the case, that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that if Reuven's ox gores an ox of Hektish, he would have to pay. So maybe, let's say that the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva is actually limited to this exact thing of, if Reuven's ox gores an ox of Hektish, does he have to pay? Rabbi Shmuel says no, Rabbi Akiva says yes. Maybe that's the machlokas, but vis-a-vis a situation when Shimon's best fields are the same price, as same value as Reuven's worst fields, maybe they both agree actually that it would be based on Shimon's best field, not based on Reuven's best field. Because after all, what does Rabbi Akiva say? All he says is Lo ba'kosuv el legabuson hazakim ha'idis. He doesn't say anything about whether it's Edis shel mazik, izik shel nizak. We understood it to mean that, well, if Rabbi Shmuel is talking about the field of, right, Shimon's field, the nizak's field, so it must be that Reuven's talking about the mazik's field. But the Gemara is suggesting maybe that's not actually the case. Maybe Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that in that case it would be the nizak shaminan that we would evaluate based on Shimon's field. Where Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue, what they're arguing about is if Reuven's ox scores an ox of Ektish, is there a payment? Rabbi Shmuel says no, Rabbi Akiva says yes, maybe that's the machlokas. So again, so the Gemara says, Yachi, if that's the case, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, in terms of the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, Mimayd be'idiz de nizak is iboriz de mazik plige, how do we know that the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is with regard to when Reuven's ox eats up Shimon's field, and Shimon's best field is the equivalent of Reuven's worst fields, and we said that Rabbi Shmuel says that b'dinizak shaminon, Rabbi Akiva says b'dimazik shaminon. Maybe they don't argue about that at all. Dilma d'chuliyam b'dinizak shaminon. Maybe both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree that but the nizak shaminon that we evaluate based on Shimon's best field, the nizak's best field, the one who got damaged. And maybe the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael is the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh and the Rabbanon. That Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says that if Reuven's ox gores an ox of Hektish, he does have to pay, and the Rabbanon say he doesn't. Rabbi Akiva saw Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh that he would have to pay. Rabbi Shmuel saw Rabbi Rabbanon, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like the Rabbanon that, right, that he wouldn't have to pay if his ox scores an ox of Hektish. Let's say that's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So says the Gemara, Im Kain, my lo ba'akosuv. Well, if so, then what is the possible meaning when he says lo ba'akosuv ela, meaning Rabbi Shmuel says b'dinizak shaminon. Rabbi Akiva seems to be arguing on Rabbi Shmuel and saying, no, mapitom, lo ba'akosuv ela. No, the pasuk is talking about something else. Meaning, if Rabbi Shmuel is talking about b'de nizak shaminon, it must be Rabbi Akiva is arguing and saying, no, mapitom, b'de mazik shaminon. That's first of all. Ve'od, my kavachom elektish. And additionally, if Rabbi Akiva is saying that in a situation where Shimon's edis is like Reuven's Ziboris, if Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that it's b'dinizak shaminon, which is more lenient, then what's the kal vachomer lehekdesh? Kilo, I understand if Rabbi Akiva is being stringent in this case and saying b'demazik shaminon, and kal vachomer that by case of hekdesh, which should of course be more stringent, b'demazik shaminon. But if we're saying that Rabbi Akiva is b'denizak shaminon, then what's the kal vachomer what in terms of hekdesh? The odd and additionally and more so, and here's kind of the knockout. Ha'omer of Ashi, Rav Ashi said, Tanya Behedra, that we have an explicit brisa, Meitov Sadeu Meitov Karmu Yishalim, that it says that Reuven has to pay back Meitov Sadeu Meitov Karmu. Meitav sadehu shel nizak, meitav karmu shel nizak, divrei Bishmol. Bishmol says it's talking about the field of the nizak and the vineyard of the nizak. So Bishmol says it's talking about the nizak shaminon. Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva, meitav sadehu shel mazik, or meitav karmu shel mazik, that we're talking about the Reuven. We're talking about the damagers, Edis. So there you have it, Rabbi Akiva. We have a brisa in which we explicitly have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that it's b'demazik shayminon. Friends, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, or shtickle, but I'm a little bit tired. It's not even that late. I don't know. I've been getting tired. We changed the, I don't know if I mentioned this already. We changed the clocks. Less than a week ago. I don't know if maybe I'm like a little like minor jet lag from that. I don't know, but I'm a tiny bit tired, but so far I think my brain has still been working, and we're gonna plow ahead. We got some more stuff over here. Some relatively interesting stuff. We gotta start using our brains. Then the next 2 days also, big time, we gotta use our brains. I've been calling it, you know what I've called it today, not so much, but tomorrow. I made up a name for what we call tomorrow's daf. Should I tell you now or should I wait till tomorrow? I'll wait till tomorrow. All right. Romile Abaye Lirovi. Okay, so Abaye asked the Rav to Kasha to Rav. Ksiv Meitav Sadehu Meitav Karmu Yishalim. So on the one hand, the pasuk says that Reuven needs to pay back Shimon Meitav Sadehu Meitav Karmu with his best fields. That's how he pays back Shimon, with his best fields. Meitavin Midach Minulo, his best fields, yes, not anything else. V'atane, but we have a price that says Yoshiv, that when the pasuk says by a boar, Balabor Yishalim Kesef Yoshiv Leval Vamesi Yelo, Lirabu Shvei Kesef Vafilu Subin, to include monetary equivalents, even bran. You can pay somebody back with bran. So we just went from on the one hand having a pasuk that said you have to pay back with your best fields, to saying you can also pay back with just bran. So we say Lokasha Kan Midaito Kan Bakorcho. So it depends how agreeable Reuven is. If Reuven says, oh gosh, oh dear, my silly ox just ate up Shimon's field, all right, Shimon, let me pay you right now. So in that case, he can, Shimon doesn't have to chase after Reuven, doesn't have to go to court. Reuven's just saying, look, my ox messed up, silly little ox, let me pay you. So since he's being easy and agreeable, so he can even pay back with just bran, with just Subin. But if Reuven's saying like, I don't know what you're talking about, it was like that from before, Reuven's saying that, and then Shimon has to go to Beis Din and it becomes a whole thing, well then we have no mercy. And we say, Reuven, you're a shmendrik, you have to pay back with your edis, with your best fields. That this makes sense to say this because it says Yeshalim Balkorcho, right? He will pay against his will, right? Meaning when it says Meitav Sadehu Meitav Karmu Yeshalim, he will pay even against his will. At this point, he's going to have to pay with his best fields. Omele Abaye. Abaye says to Rava Miksiv Yeshulam. So Miksiv Yeshulam Yeshalim Ksiv. That it doesn't say Yeshulam, that it will be paid, which is Afilo Akorchuk Yeshalim Ksiv. He will pay. Midaito Mashma. and applies with his intention. So meaning, even if Reuven immediately says, oh, gosh, my ox just ate your field, let me pay you back now, still he would have to pay Mimetav Sadeu. Okay, fine. Okay, very good. Okay, no, so Abaye is saying that even if he's like agreeable, still he would have to pay back from Meitav Sadeh. Okay, no, where am I? So Elo Amar Abaye. Elo Amar Abaye. Rather says Abaye, Kedemar. Rather it's like what Rabba says. It's like Mar, it's like Rabba. The Tanya that we learn in the Brisa. Okay, here we go. What is this talking about? My oh my. So, okay, so of course to start right, there's leke, chichacha, peya, maiser oni. There are matnos aniyim, right? There are certain things that are available for poor people to collect and to eat. Leket shichach apeah ma'aser ani. A poor person can collect these things and eat them. So the question is, how do you define a poor person? Who qualifies to be able to collect these things? So it's 200 zuz. If a fellow has 200 zuz, he's no longer a poor person. He cannot collect these things. So now the Gemara is talking about an interesting situation where you have a person who's poshut broke, but he owns sados. What was it? Batim sados chromim. So he has non-liquid assets, right? He has houses. He has vineyards. He has fields. He has all these things. But he's starving to death. He doesn't have money to buy a slice of pizza. Buy a slice of pizza. You can't buy a slice of pizza with a field. You buy a slice of pizza with money. He doesn't have any money. So here's kind of a funny thing. On the one hand, he's not a poor person because he has assets that are worth more than 200 zuz. But he can't buy a slice of pizza with assets. He needs cash. So the question is he considered a poor person? Can he collect matnos aniyim? On the one hand, he's broke. On the other hand, he's got assets that are worth enough that he wouldn't be considered poor. So again, the Tanya we learned about is, you have a fellow, he's got houses, he's got fields, he's got vineyards. The eno motzi lemochrim, but he's not able to sell them. He's not able to sell them. He's trying to sell them. Nobody's interested. He's unable to sell them. He doesn't have any cash. He's broke. He's starving. Can he collect matnos aniyim or not? So machilin also ma'aser ani ad mechza. So we can feed him ma'aser ani, so he can collect the matnos aniyim up to half the value of these illiquid assets that he's unable to get money for. So, he can eat my matnos aniyim. He can eat my ma'aser ani up until the value of half of his assets, and then he could sell the assets for even half of their value, and then he'll definitely find buyers. And then, so he's getting half the money for his properties, but he's also able to eat up to half of their value in matnos aniyim. V'avi b'amar, and Rabbi's trying to understand what exactly is this scenario where we're saying that he can eat ma'aser ani up to half of the value of these assets. Hey chidami, I huzal arisa d'chuli alma v'didei namizol. If there was a recession, everybody's properties depreciated in value, and so did his. V'didei namizol badayu. Well, then that means that he's poor. right? If there was a recession in the economy, and these assets that were worth enough that he wouldn't be considered poor, but now those assets depreciated in value globally, so now he doesn't. Now he's considered a poor person because the assets that he has aren't worth anything. So afilu tuva nami lisvelei. Well, then he should be considered a poor person. He should be able to eat whatever he needs. He's a poor person. So why are we saying he can only eat half the value of the assets? No, so it's talking about a situation where, in general, real estate prices, taka, went up. So the value of his assets, taka, are worth quite a bit. But vidide, but in his case, I did the isle of the nofik, Azuze Zol Are. But everybody knows though that he's broke and that, you know, he's in a weak negotiating position because he needs money to be able to buy food. So therefore, look, in general, you know, property prices are going up, but because everybody knows that he's basically stuck because he needs strapped for cash, he's gonna be unable to get what he would like for it. But then afilu porta nami lo lisvelei. But the Gemara wants to say, look, if the fact of the matter is that he owns these assets that are worth enough that he would not be considered poor, yeah, granted, people know that he's in a difficult position and in a weak negotiating position because he needs money, he's strapped for cash, so therefore people will be willing to give him less. But the fact of the matter is, these assets are worth enough that he would not be considered a poor person. So then he shouldn't, right? If he's poor to Namilo, he shouldn't get anything. He's not a poor person. And Rabbah answers and he says, this is the scenario. Lo tzricha de biyome nisan yukara arisa viyome tishrei zal arisa de chuli alma natra ad nisan umizabne vahai. Did you get that? Probably not. So here the situation is, look, when it comes to selling fields, depending on what time of the year it is, the property can be worth more or less. What that means is, if a fellow is selling his property in Nisan, he can get more money for it. Why can he get more money for it? Because when you buy property in Nisan, you have enough time to plow the field, seed the field, do whatever you have to do for the field so that it will be ready for the rains in the winter, in the upcoming winter after Tishrei. It gives you half a year to get the rain ready so that already the first year you'll be able to benefit, to get the field ready. So already you'll be able to start getting benefit right away from the field. That season, you'll already be harvesting. You buy a field in Nisan, you have the summer to get it ready, it rains in the winter, already by the end of the year, you're getting your first yield. Masha ein kein, if somebody sells the field in Tishrei, because if you sell the field in Tishrei, you kind of miss the, you're not going to be able to get it everything ready in time by the time it starts raining. And therefore, you be'etzem lose a year. Yeah, you're going to have to wait for the next year, because you missed your chance to be able to plant and ultimately harvest the field this year. So therefore, the price of fields are lower in Tishrei because it's a less advantageous thing to buy. Because you can't harvest that. You're going to have to wait till the next year. So again, selling a field in Nisan, you can get a better price for it because then people will buy it and they'll get to work and they'll already be able to have a yield that year. But if you buy a field in Tishrei, which is mamish right before the winter starts, you're not going to have enough time to prep the field, so you're basically losing out on the season, so it's going to be a lower price. So again, so Amar Ma'ad and Rabbah says, Allah, regarding this scenario, lo tzricha de biyome Nisan yukara arisa, that in Nisan property is more expensive, uviyome Tishrei zil zol arisa, and in Tishrei property is less expensive, that everyone generally people would wait till Nisan in order to sell their field so that they can get more money for it. But this person, it's right now Tishrei, Now, most people in Tishrei would wait to sell their field until Nisan, but he can't. He's strapped for cash. He needs the money. So he has no choice but to sell his field in Tishrei at a discounted price. So Zavin Kidashta, so he sells his field based on the current price in Tishrei. And Ad Palga Orche Lemezel, and the price of a field in Tishrei would only go so low, it wouldn't go more than half the price that it would be in Nisan, half the proper price. Tvei Lav Orche Lemezel, but not more than that. And therefore, that explains why he can collect Maaser Ani up until half of the value of his assets. Because we assume that when he sells his assets now in Tishrei, he can get at least half of the value of the assets at the time that you would like to sell them in Nisan, but in Tishrei it wouldn't be less than half the value, and therefore you can collect Maaser Ani up until half the value of the assets, assuming that then he's going to sell the assets at a steep discount. Which would be no less than half of their value. So between the Maaser Ani and the money that he receives from the sale, that would be enough. Okay. So that is why we suggest that he receives half of the value in Matnas Aniyim, and then he sells the property. Fine. Okay, so now, where am I? V'achanami. Okay, so now getting back to our question of the scenario where, right, we said on the one hand it says, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karma Yishalim, you got to pay with your best fields. On the other hand, it says you can even pay bran. So we say, well, let's apply this also to the following case. V'achanami here as well, Gabi Nizokin, when it comes to damages. Dine be'idis. So in general, it would be be'idis. Shimon would have to pay back with his best fields. The omale iu. But if Reuven, wait, who's Reuven and Shimon? No, we got to get back to our examples. So Reuven's cow ate Shimon's field. So Shimon is entitled to collect from Reuven's edis, from his best fields. Like the Pasuk says, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karma Yishalim. But V'i Amar Le'ihu, but if instead Shimon suggests to Reuven, Havli Beinonis Tvei Porta, give me Beinonis instead, a little bit more. For whatever reason, maybe the Beinonis is closer to his own fields, whatever it might be. Shimon says to Reuven, look, don't pay me back with Edis, pay me back with Beinonis, but just, give me a little bit more Beinonis. The quality of the field is not as good, so just give me a little bit more Beinonis instead of a little bit less Edis. On my lay. And Reuven then says to Shimon, look, Ishaklas kidincha shkol kidashta. Look, if, so now, and this is of course happening in Tishrei. In Tishrei, when properties are less. Okay? So Reuven's ox eats Shimon's field in Tishrei. Now, in Tishrei, the prices of fields are lower, which would be a great opportunity for Shimon to be able to collect from Reuven at a bargain price. Right? Meaning Reuven's ox ate Shimon's field, right? Ate Shimon's stuff. So now Shimon's got these damages, right? He's owed $1,000 in damages. Shimon now goes to Reuven and says, you owe me $1,000 worth of property. It's right now Tishrei. In Tishrei, property is worth less. It's less expensive. So Shimon can buy more of it. Now Shimon then suggests to Reuven, he says, look, instead of paying me, right, Shimon says to Reuven, instead of paying me Edis, pay me a little bit more of Beinonis. To which Reuven responds, look, he says, look, Maker Adin, the Torah says that you're allowed to collect from my Edis. And therefore, as long as you're sticking to what the Torah says, well then yeah, I have no choice but to give you, you know, to give you, to pay you back with the edus at the current price, which is a cheaper price. But if you, Shimon, want to switch things up and say, nah, I don't want edus, I want penonis, well, then I'm no longer obligated to give you the current cheaper price. I'm happy to give you a penonis property, but at the price that I would normally receive for it, which is I would wait till Nisan when it's more expensive, so you'd only get penonis at the more expensive price. Right, so again, so Amalei Yishakat Kedin Choshkol, Reuven says to Shimon, look, if you're going to collect, like the Torah says you're entitled to collect, which is from Edis, well then Shkol Kedahashto, you can get the current price of Tishrei, which is less expensive. Ve'ilo, but if you don't want Edis, and instead you want Benonis, Lo Shakil Kiyuk, Ve'ilo Shakil Kiyukra Tilkame. Well then, you can collect from my Benonis, but only at the prices that I would normally seek for it, which is I would wait till Nisan when it's more expensive. And therefore we want to say, so it's like a funny kind of comparison to our case, I think, but in our case we were talking about Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmi Shalim on the one hand, but also the bran. So we're saying, look, that refers to the fact that Shimon can collect either from the Edis, which is like Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmo, or from the bran, which is, or from the Beinoni, which is like Kilo, the equivalent of the bran. So, okay, we want to say that that is how it connects. But Maskevler of Acha by Yaakov, or of Acha by Yaakov says, I don't understand. Im Keno Orata Kochon Shonazokin Eitzel Beninus Viziboris. If that's the case, though, Rav Acha by Yaakov asks, you're basically making it more difficult for him when it comes to Beinonis and Ziboris. Right? Right? Meaning, what we just said is Reuven could say to Shimon, look, Shimon, if you want to collect from my Edis, which is the best stuff, so then, yeah, okay, fine. So you can collect at the current rate, at the current price, which is a cheaper price. But if you want sort of lower fields, then you have to pay a higher price. So that means that we're basically, you know, making it more difficult for Shimon when it comes to Ziboris and Beinonis, Derachman Amar, but the Torah says, me meitav. The Torah says, we want to help out Shimon. We want to be meitav, so though, we want to give him even from the best stuff. We want to help him out. Give Shimon the best possible stuff after, you know, the experience of Reuven's ox destroying his field. And you're saying, No, it's either to the exclusion of Benonis, his options are limited. If he wants from the Benonis and the Ziboris, he has to settle for a more expensive price. But the whole point is we want to benefit Shimon. So therefore it doesn't make sense to say that, you know, if he wants the Benonis, then he's going to have to take a more expensive price. El Omer Vacha Bayakov, rather says Vacha Bayakov, Iiko Lidamuye Libalchov Midamin and Lay. Look, if we're looking for a situation that would be similar to the Matnos Anim, to this fellow who has non-liquid assets, and you know, he's trying to sell them so that he can eat, and it's Tishrei, and we say, you know, we talk about, well, there's the lower price in Tishrei. So it would be similar to this. Balchov dine bebenonis, that a balchov dine bebenonis, right? Of course, if Shimon lends Reuven $1,000 and it comes time to pay him back and Reuven doesn't have the money, so Shimon can collect from Reuven's property, he can collect from Benonis. Now, if Shimon says to Reuven, you know what? Don't pay me back with Beinonis. Pay me back with Ziboris. I prefer Ziboris, the lower quality fields, but just give me more of it. So, Amarle, of course, this is in Tishrei. So, Reuven says to Shimon, look, Ishaklas Kidincho Shkol Kedashta. Look, if you want to collect from property based on what the din is, which is Benonis, well then you can get it for the better price, for the Tishrei price. Ve'ilo, but if you don't want to collect from Benonis, which is what maker a din you're entitled to, you want to collect from Ziboris, Shkil ki yukud el kamei. Well, then I'll only be willing to give it to you at the Nisan rate, which is a higher rate. But maskif lo ravacha bre dervika says, I don't understand. Imkin not the delos b'fnei lovin. If that's the case, you're going to make it difficult for people to get loans, right? Reuven got $1,000 loan from Shimon. Shimon wants to come and collect it. Shimon says, look, I want to collect from Ziboris. Reuven says, look, if you want to collect from Ziboris, you're going to pay a premium. Shimon's going to say, to heck with this, I'm never lending ever again. This is such a headache. The Amalei, Shimon's going to say, ilu havu li zuzei, if I had the $1,000, i.e. if I didn't lend it to you, if it was in my pocket, have a shakli kida ashto, I would, and I wanted to right now use those $1,000 in my pocket to buy Ziboris land right now in Tishrei, I would be able to get a better price. I'd be able to get a Tishrei price. Hashto the Zuzei Gabach, but now that I don't have the $1,000 in my pocket because I was a silly person, I lent it to you and you're being difficult. Eshko kiyuka del kame, and now it can't get paid back with the Ziboris at the current price, I have to pay a higher price. If I never lent you that $1,000 in the first place and I had it in my pocket, I'd be able to buy Ziboris land right now for the current prices. And now that I did you a favor and I lent you $1,000 and I want to get paid back with Ziboris land, I have to do it at a higher price? The heck with this, I should have never have lent you the $1,000. And guess what? I'm not going to ever lend anybody $1,000 again. And now the next person who needs a loan will be unable to get it. Rather, if we want this case of like the Nisan prices and the Tishrei prices, so then it's talking about a ksuba. The ksubas isha dina b'ziboris. That ksubas isha, right, a fella gets divorced and she wants to collect her mona masayim, right, and I guess the nedunya, she wants to collect so she's entitled to collect from Ziboris. The Amrlan, if she says to him, Havli Benonis Botzer Porta, look, instead of giving me from Ziboris, can you pay me back with Benonis, which is better field, but less of it? On my law, the ex-husband says, Ishaklas Kidincho Kidinoch Shkol Kedashta, look, if you want to accept what you're entitled to accept, which is Ziboris, I will give you Ziboris at the current Tishrei prices. But if you want Benonis, well then, Shakli Kiyuka Kdilkame, then I'll only pay you back, you know, pay you from Benonis at sort of the prices that I would usually prefer to sell at, which is the Nisan prices. Okay, so that's the case of that, right, that's similar to Rabba with the Tishrei prices and the Nisan prices. Mikomakum kasha, nu, very good. We get back to our initial question of what's the deal? Why in the one end it says metav sadeh, metav kaimu yishalim, that we're talking about the best stuff. On the other end, we're saying it could even be bran. So I'm a Rava called Yoivle Mimetav Leisivle. So Rava suggests what it means, no, those two things are not mutually exclusive. On the one hand, we're saying that Shimon has to pay from his best stuff. On the other hand, we're saying he can even pay bran. What it means is that those two things are not contradictory. On the one hand, we're saying that if Shimon has Edis fields, Benonis fields, Ziboris fields, he's got to pay from the Edis. And we're also saying that he can even pay bran, meaning if he's got Edis bran, which I guess comes from Edis wheat, or Benonis bran, or Ziboris bran, he's got to pay from the Edis bran. Rava says that's all it's saying. What it's saying is that you know, Shimon does not have to pay back with land. But whatever he pays back with should be the best. That's what it's saying, according to Rava. Where am I? I'm Rava called Yoivle Metav Leisivle. Vametav Sadeyu Ksiv. It doesn't say that it could just be anything. It says Metav Sadeyu, his field. Selikos or Papa. Rather, says a Papa of Ravuna Bredi of Yeshua, Mibe Rav. When Rav Papa and Ravuna Bredi of Yeshua came from the Beis HaMedrash, Parshua, they explained it. Kol Mile Metav Hu. Look, anything that's like metaltalin, right, that if Shimon's going to, I guess Reuven's going to pay Shimon, I don't even know who's Reuven and Shimon, I'm getting shtickle tired, so I don't know who's Reuven and Shimon anymore. But if Reuven's going to pay Shimon with metaltalin, well then that's, Metaltalin can always be called Meitav because the Ilom is Daven Ochom is Daven Matachrise. Because Metaltalin, you go to one place, you say, hey, this is my price, people don't want it. But you go to another place, people will be happy to pay for it. So anything can, relatively speaking, be called Meitav. But But when it comes to property, it's not like that because it's stationary, it's in one place, and you have to, therefore, Dafka give the Meitav, he's got to give Dafka his best stuff when it comes to property. When it says Meitav, right, it's got to be the best fields or the brand. So it's saying, look, the point is that Shimon should be able to easily convert these things that he's getting paid back with into money. So when it comes to brand, when it comes to metaltalin, you know, it doesn't have to be from the edis because it can always be edis depending on where you go. People might value it more. You know, well, you might go to a certain place and they value it quite a bit. When it comes to karka, though, it dafka needs to be metav sadeu to make sure that people would be willing to buy it and that he can get the money for it. Okay, Givaldik, friends, that was the Zayin of Masechta Bava Kamma, the first part of the daf. We continued on the machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, explaining Rabbi Akiva's opinion that, first reinforcing Rabbi Akiva's opinion that it's b'demazik shaminan, and that this would apply to Hekdish as well, that if his ox scored an ox of Hekdish, he would have to pay from the edus of the mazik. And then we got into the question of, the distinction between Meitav Sadeu and the fact that it says you can even pay with bran. We tried to give different answers, and that led us on a whole journey. But ultimately, Rava suggested that it means that, whatever you're going to pay back with, it should be the best. And Rav Papa, Rav Huni Bar David Shimon, made a distinction between Metaltalin and Karka, that a field would have to dafka be the best, but metaltalin, it could even be brand because, relatively speaking, some places might value something more. Friends, that was the Zayin of Masechta Bava Kamma. Hope you enjoyed. Peace out.